a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse, back to its regular schedule after the football season. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you. Ton, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I had a great Thanksgiving. It's always good to spend time with family.
It is. Now everybody's kind of turning their minds to Christmas. You didn't get into the Black Friday shopping, huh?
No, I ended up at the local box store for groceries and Christmas gifts, but I didn't go just for Black Friday. I found that when you go at least to like Walmart, that most of the Black Friday specials are junk. You know, if you buy the inexpensive vacuums and griddles and things like that, they are just made so cheaply that I just avoid most Black Friday deals unless it's something I know is that I need and is of quality.
Something you've researched or something the wife or the kids absolutely have to have.
But just to pop in and find an electric griddle for $16.99 is probably not going to work from the time you plug it in. So I avoid them.
I love it. Ton's advice on Black Friday shopping.
So this is the KSL Shopping Show. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us for the Greenhouse. Give us a call this morning to ask your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. This morning, plant of the week, Norfolk Pine.
Yeah, this is one that is available in stores right now. And it looks like a little miniature pine tree. They're actually a species native to the southern hemisphere, to a little island called Norfolk Island that is, I believe, administered by Australia. And so this group of trees, they're called Araucarias, are native to the earth for a long time. They were actually around when the dinosaurs were, and we have fossil records of the trees' relatives in North America.
Wow.
So it's a very ancient family of trees, with all species being represented in the southern hemisphere. And so it is related to pine trees, but it's its own family. And it's native to tropical and near tropical areas. And so
it's a house plant basically.
Central South Florida, it will grow outside. San Diego, it will grow outside. Hawaii, you'll see Norfolk Island pine all over Hawaii outdoors too. But here, it makes a great house plant. And the reason I wanted to feature this is that you'll often find them in grocery stores covered in little ornaments and in a little green sleeve, and people oftentimes,
kind of a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
They dispose of them at the end of the season, but they can make great house plants.
So, yeah, they'll last longer. How do you need to take care of them if you want them to last past Christmas?
They like bright light.
It's early.
Yes, it is. The caffeine hasn't kicked in yet, but they like bright temperature, bright lights. And somewhere off a south or a west window, just off to the side, turn it once a week. But they also are fairly tolerant of cooler temperatures. And so if you had a room that was, say, like a basement or a daylight basement room that had a good window in it, you could put it there and it will tolerate temperatures in the 50s and 60s just fine, because it's actually native to a warmer subtropical area that isn't quite, you know, it's still warm, but it's they'll tolerate cooler temperatures than many houseplants.
Yeah, they do make a nice little tabletop Christmas tree, but is that really good for them to be hanging things from them? And are they tolerated okay?
If it's light enough, it does tolerate it for 3 or 4 weeks. After that, you really want to start treating it like a regular houseplant. They will only grow anywhere from 3 to maybe 6 inches a year, but they can get big. So over a period of 10 or 15 years, it's not uncommon to see them in malls or doctor's offices and similar places. They'll be 8 to 10, maybe 12 feet tall as a houseplant.
Oh.
So over time, they do need some room, but you know, they'll make a great houseplant for years. And I've actually seen them planted in a number of buildings right in the ground indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten fairly big that way. They tolerate our soil quite well, it seems like. But it's just one of those plants that you see during Christmas that are just a lot more useful than would seem.
Right. So if you are going to make this a houseplant, you're saying it can stay in the current pot because it's not going to get too big too quickly.
No, it can stay in that current pot for 1 to 2 years. Just get it out of the sleeve. We probably should talk poinsettias next week.
Mm-hmm.
But those green ornamental,
you don't like those,
the red
at all.
And green sleeves, it's not that they're bad.
They're pretty.
Mm-hmm. But people don't know how to handle the plants when they're in the sleeve, and they just water, and that sleeve is watertight and it holds water in, and you can quickly kill a plant from root rot because excess water doesn't drain off. And so you need to water the plant in the sink and then let it drain for 45 minutes and then put it back in the sleeve. That's fine. Right. But you just need to know how to use the sleeves. And after Christmas, I think it's just best to get it out of there.
Right. These Norfolk pines, do they need some fertilizer?
Not in the winter. They've already been fertilized from the grower where they came from. They're usually out of either California or Florida. But what you would do is, as day lengths start to increase in February and March, or sometime in March, you could use half-strength plant fertilizer every other irrigation to get some extra nutrients in there, and that's when it's going to do its main growing.
All right. If you are not familiar with the Norfolk pine, Ton has put up an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, so you can learn much more there. We're taking your calls, your questions this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. And thanks for joining us for the Greenhouse Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls and questions. Our first listener, Ton, is Lisa in Magna. She wants to know if it's possible to overwinter lantana that's been in a container, a pot. She says it's a zone 6 or 7.
She lives in a zone 6, 7, I imagine.
Yeah,
Magna
is a 6, 7.
So lantana, there's two species. There's a yellow-flowered one that's a little more hardy, that's low-growing to the ground. So if you're down in Las Vegas during the summer and see a yellow matted ground cover growing in their park strips, that's yellow lantana.
Mm, okay.
So the other kind of lantana can form more into a larger bush, and it has pink and yellow, kind of very beautiful flowers.
So I'm assuming that's what she's talking about.
Yes, it is. And these are both plants that I think about the coldest they'll tolerate is Las Vegas. Even St. George, you don't see them over winter very often.
Mm-hmm.
So to get them to overwinter here, you would almost need a greenhouse or a solarium or a warm cold frame. And what you would have to do is isolate them for probably 60 days. They've been outside. They're most likely infested just with small amounts of aphids, spider mites, things of that nature that you need to be sure are not there, because you don't want to bring it in your house and then infest all your other gardening, your house plants, because it's very difficult to control pests indoors. There's just very few chemicals. You don't really want to use them indoors. So quarantining them is a good policy. So if you have a fairly warm greenhouse or a fairly warm cold frame area to where it doesn't, it can get, you know, in the 30s and 40s at night, but not much colder, then Lantana would be an option. But as just a general house plant, they're very difficult due to needing a lot of sunlight.
Okay. So could she like just keep it over the winter and then just put it outside at the end of the winter?
In theory, yes. But unless it's already in a container, it would have to be dug up.
Well, it's, apparently it isn't a container.
Okay.
So this could be her winter experiment.
It could.
She didn't get her hopes up.
Yeah, I would. If it makes it through, count it as a blessing. If it doesn't, don't consider yourself a bad gardener.
Yeah, she says it. Yeah, they're pink and yellow.
Okay.
All right. So don't get your hopes up. Give it a try if you have some extra time this winter, and make sure and quarantine it.
Yes, and I compliment you. I think lantanas as a summer annual, they can be a little more expensive mm-hmm. than other plants, but they are just so tolerant of our dry heat here, and they're very disease and pest resistant. They're one that I recommend to people a lot if they have a hot south exposure, because the lantana just thrives.
Okay. Let's go to Dana in Holiday. Good morning, Dana. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. It's regarding Kelsey dogwoods. In 2017, we put in 12 Kelsey dogwoods. They really did well. We use them as a hedge. And in 2020, I gave them a little short haircut. And they just didn't seem to like that at all, and they didn't want to come back. There was I had quite a few, I would say almost five plants that just took forever to leaf out. And I didn't know whether I was trimming them at the wrong time. And when I looked trimming up, one website will say trim in the spring, one says trim in the fall, and another website says don't trim at all.
Well, when you say
maybe
short
all three
haircuts,
of those are correct.
What do you mean by short haircut?
I just took my hand trimmers and maybe trimmed off like 3 inches.
Okay. That shouldn't have done much. Those dogwoods actually do not tolerate heavy shearing very long, because all the new growth is on their tips. And so you can give them a light haircut like you did, and it'll bush them out a little bit. But normally when you grow dogwood, you use a technique called renewal pruning, where you take about 20 to 25% of the branches out of the base every spring.
But the bigger branches are going to be in the center. So is that going to leave me like a vase-like plant then?
Well, they'll regenerate from the base.
Okay.
So some other questions for you. Did you decrease the irrigation with the drought last summer?
We were very cognizant of it, but this is the problem. This spring, five of them died. They did not come back at all. So my remaining ones looked really good, but five died, and we had to take them out and replace them.
Okay. So did you, on the other ones that weren't looking so happy, did you reduce the amount of irrigation with the drought?
No, they finally came back. It just took forever.
Okay. There could be a lot of things going on. Those red-twig dogwoods are super cold hardy. And as long as they had sufficient irrigation in the previous fall, they should have come back. But if they were bone dry, because these dogwoods are native along streams and rivers, and they're fairly drought hardy once established, but they can't be bone dry. So that's one thing to consider if they ever dried out in the fall after irrigation was cut off or something. But it sounds like if five random ones died, that they may have had a root rot disease in them that they didn't recover from.
Okay, and then that would be from overwatering.
No, they will tolerate pretty swampy soil. So, but it could have been,
there could be a
lot of different things, because, I mean, if you were to go on a hike along a river, you would find close relatives of those Kelsey dogwoods growing along our rivers and streams. They need some oxygenation in the soil, but they tolerate moist soil quite well. So I'm suspecting that they probably got a disease in them. It could have been some drought stress that also made them more susceptible. But those red twig dogwoods, as long as they have sufficient water, you know, within reason, will grow in a lot of different kinds of soil.
Well, for the first 3 years, they were beautiful. They make a beautiful hedge.
Yeah.
So, okay, no trimming then. I will do the one-third.
You can
take about a third out.
Like you did, a very light haircut is fine. But because all the leaves are coming out on the top foot to 18 inches of the branch, if you go in and whack them 6 inches off the ground, it will take them a while to recover. But it sounds like more that you got a root disease in there that may not have been any fault of yours.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Dana, thanks for your call this morning. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We were talking to Lisa about the lantana. It made me think, when I was in St. George, Vegas area, a couple of weeks ago, the rosemary just makes me crazy. It grows in these huge bushes, but we can't get it to survive here.
Well, they have two varieties. We were talking about that low-growing yellow lantana.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing with a creeping rosemary that they can hedge, and it grows about a foot off the ground, and,
right.
and it blooms all winter. So they have both the bigger shrubs and the littler ones. So you can get rosemary to overwinter here. But you have to be selective on the type. So there's two of them. There's one called ARP, and it's just spelled A-R-P.
Okay.
And another one called Madeline Hill. Both of those against a south wall or a west wall along pavement seem to overwinter.
Yes. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, and so ARP and Madeline Hill. The other, if you cannot find those, if you find bigger leafed rosemary, so not the little, you see the ones in Vegas, mm-hmm. and they're almost wiry, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but just really thin,
narrow
leaves.
No, I understand what you mean.
But you can also get thicker-leaved kinds with larger leaves, and those seem to be more cold-hardy than the ones you would find in the desert southwest. So, down in Santaquin, we are 5 degrees colder than Provo and Orem
mm-hmm.
during the winter, and my neighbor across the street along her driveway has a rosemary that has been there for 3 or 4 years and survived down to at least single digits.
I just love rosemary, and I use it a lot, especially in my winter baking.
Yeah.
And so, boy, if I could grow it, I'd be happy.
Yeah, we need to find that ARP or Madeline Hill. But the other thing with rosemary is here, it's too cold for it to bloom in the winter. But mid-March through about early May, it's in full bloom.
Okay. I'm excited about that. My next experiment. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back following the bottom of the hour news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Smartin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.